All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, the show brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, and here we are. I'm recording this on March 5th. It's a Thursday. It's actually right here at high noon as I'm starting this thing off. We are exactly 7 weeks away from the 2020 NFL Draft. And I'll tell you what, man, if you asked me to just guess, just ballpark it without having looked it up, hey, when's the draft? I would have said, I don't know, 4 weeks, maybe five? Three seems too soon, but four or five? No, seven. So we're still incredibly far away. Of course, now that some things on the league calendar have happened, the combine is out of the way. You know, a week from today, we're going to have the franchise tag deadline or the transition tag or whatever, so maybe we'll find something out, although that's not expected to be the case with Jameis Winston. The Bucs could do it with Shaq Barrett. And, you know, by the time I do next week's show, I'm not sure. You know, I may even delay next week's show and make it another Friday edition, which is nothing new to the Free Stretch anyway. But in case, you know, I don't know if anything will have happened by this time on next Thursday. I want to make sure we have all the info that we could possibly have before doing a show. But we'll know more then, is my point. And then after that, the week after, we've got the free agency stuff, and the dominoes start falling. The big domino is Tom Brady, and once whatever happens with him happens, then everything else will kind of follow. All these different things are happening, and it feels like the draft is right on their heels, right? But no, the draft is most decidedly not on the heels of anything right now, except for seven more weeks. But we will talk about all these things today. Of course, voting on the new collective bargaining agreement is underway. They have sent out the ballots. They've got a week through the players to get them sent in. It'll be, I think, just before midnight next Thursday, so they've got exactly 7 days to get their votes in. They'll count them up, and we'll see if we can have something official on that. 17th game, all those things. It looks very possible, and certainly if it's not ratified now, it probably will happen in the future, but that's something we can look at getting more information on in the next few days or a week or whatever it is. But I also wanted to get to today. You know, I haven't really done much in the way of considering other options besides Jameis Winston for the Bucs. I've kind of been dismissive of most of them, either because I don't want them or because I don't think they're possible in Tom Brady's case. But I went ahead and opened my mind up, and I did a little bit of research and a little bit of reading and a little bit of watching some tape and things like that of Teddy Bridgewater, just to see if I could talk myself into it. And I still don't think it's going to happen. And I've said as much, but, you know, there's been a report. Rick Stroud on Twitter came out and said that he had heard, and Mike Sando ended up being the guy actually reporting it, but Rick Stroud had talked about this too, that an anonymous scout or anonymous administrative guy with one of the teams, who the hell knows? Everything you hear this time of year, who the hell knows? But the guy had said, oh, the Bucks are hot and heavy on Teddy Bridgewater. That's what I'm hearing right now. And this time of year, I mean, everything you hear and read, you can't take any of it seriously, but that was out there, and I even responded to the tweet, and even though I believe Rick 100%, I don't believe that guy, whoever it is, that, and maybe I'm wrong all the time, I mean, you guys listen to this show, you probably know that, but I just don't, I never have seen the premise as real of Teddy Bridgewater and the Bucks. But, you know what, let's go ahead, and I said, let's try and see if we can ferret that out a little bit today. Let me see if it's something I could really imagine happening. Because when I think something is not a thing, I dismiss it in my mind. Like, this is an admitted flaw with me. I don't consider the possibility of things if I personally don't see their merit or if I personally don't see them happening. And like I said, I can be wrong. So it's always good in life to consider the possibility of things, even if you don't think they're likely or even if others don't think they're likely. Because I've had it happen many times before, I'm sure we all have, things that you completely ruled out, things that you completely dismissed, things that you didn't even bother to put any thought into whatsoever, because how's that really going to happen in real life, right? Well, they end up happening. It happens all the time. So today on the show, we're going to talk about a little bit, you know, what if it was real? What if the Bucks really did sign Teddy Bridgewater? Could he play in this offense? What would it entail? And I wanted to see if I could get myself there. And I don't think I did, but I at least opened my mind up a little bit. First things first, the Free Stretch brought to you by BillCurryFord.com. Our good friends over there are going to give you not just a car, whether it's new pre-owned or new used, anything like that. It doesn't have to be one of the brand new ones. They're going to give you a car with an unlimited nationwide lifetime warranty. You can move. You can drive the car for hundreds of thousands of miles if you want to. Whatever it is, as long as you buy the car at Bill Curry Ford and you're still the owner, you can bring it back in if there's engine trouble or things like that, and you are covered under the nationwide lifetime warranty. And that's something that is very, very unique to Bill Curry Ford. In addition to the pricing you'll get, if you go to the website, very transparent, the online pricing, go to BillCurryFord.com. It's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Or you can go visit them in person a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. It's just north of Hillsboro there on the east side of the road. Been there for almost 60 years serving the Tampa Bay area. Sean Sullivan, the GM, good friend of mine, and a guy who, if you mention my name, if you mention the Free Stretch, or if you mention Joe Bucks Fan, you'll get the Joe Bucks Fan discount on top of the already transparent online pricing. Plus 10 years roadside assistance, by the way, plus your first year free oil changes, everything, all the service, it's all taken care of if you bring it back in. So check them out. Again, BillCurryFord.com. And I was up that way the other day. Like I said, I think I mentioned it on last week's show, I was over by the stadium. I went to a Yankee spring training game when they were playing the Rays and saw the big red flags flying over at One Buck Place. In fact, it was during the combine. I know everybody was gone. Nobody was there. And the combine came and went. So had fun watching that. And, you know, I got to thinking when I was out there in that parking lot, like I said last week, right on the spot where the old Sombrero used to sit, looking into Raymond James Stadium, wondering what it's going to be like there on opening day in 2020, wondering what the Bucs uniforms will look like, wondering who the quarterback's going to be under center, and wondering how the fans are going to respond, what the attendance is going to be. I mean, I think about this stuff all the time. Whenever I drive down Dale Mabry or do anything in that part of the city, which is kind of often, I do. So I thought about, what if it's Teddy Bridgewater? Like, what would the fan response be to that, first of all? You know, it's political season. There's a lot of polls, and they swing wildly. I mean, I'm not getting political right now as far as, you know, who I'm for or against or anything like that. But just the general idea, like the Democratic primary, you know, candidate A is leading. He's the guy. They have a primary. He does well. Then the next week, they have a primary in a different state. Candidate B, all of a sudden, he surges. Now he's the guy. In reality, they probably were both expected to do what they did, but the order of those primaries made a difference. Then somebody drops out that looked like they were the front runner 6 months ago. I mean, it's all over the place. And kind of the same thing with public opinion with Jameis Winston. That went game by game when the season was going on. But even since the season has ended, you've had, and these are unscientific Twitter polls, but you'll have a poll by Greg Allman, The Athletic. You'll have another one up there. Somebody, you know, Jameis Winston, should the Bucs re-sign? 55% say yes, 45% say no. 62% say no, 38% say yes. And it goes back and forth and on and on and on. So if you look realistically at who the quarterback would be if it wasn't Jameis Winston, Teddy Bridgewater, the reason I did this whole exercise this week, the reason I looked at Teddy Bridgewater is because I don't really see a lot of other likely candidates that it could possibly even be. You know, the whole door number two thing, and it's one of the biggest reasons why I still believe Jameis will be back, you know, depending on his asking price and things like that. But with Teddy Bridgewater, it's at least a possibility. So I watched some film. First of all, if you look at Teddy Bridgewater's numbers, and he has some decent, I mean, he knows how to win football games if you want to use the very, very abstract and not necessarily all that analytical approach. And yet, at the end of the day, what matters more? I mean, he's got a good record. He's 5-0 as the Saints starter this past season when Drew Brees was hurt for a little while there, when he was with the Vikings before that in his rookie year. You know, in the games that he started, they were 6-6, but he had him at 11-5 in year number two. In the playoffs, all that fun stuff. And then, of course, the injury in 2016, he missed all that. Happened 2017, barely played. Then has a revival with the Saints in the 2018 and this past season as well. You know, you look at the numbers, even the year they were 11-5, he only threw 14 touchdown passes. He is not as much of a downfield aggressive passer as Jameis Winston. The big knock on him coming to the Bucs is that, oh, well, you know, for Bruce Arians' offense, he's not the guy. The way Bruce Arians does things, Jameis Winston is almost perfect, and he is almost perfect, save for those nagging, you know, interception numbers that we've brought up many times before. And yet, when I looked at Teddy B's arm strength, like just looking at his arm strength, and I'm not going to pretend to be a scout. All over Twitter, there's amateur scouts and people who pretend like they're football guys I like to think I know a little bit about football, but I'm not going to pretend to be one of those guys. Oh, I watched the All 22, and here's what the breakdown. You know, you can see things that are pretty obvious, and then there's other things that professionally trained scouts look for, but even they're guessing. But Teddy Bridgewater's arm is not bad. Like, I don't think he'd be incapable of delivering the football to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and things like that. I think that you would definitely see a production kickback in all the... I mean, I said this a few months ago when I did the show, and what did I say? Jameis Winston, you know, went through a bulking protocol this year, kind of like the way a weightlifter says, I need to put on muscle, but to get the muscle, you have to put on some unwanted mass with the muscle, then cut the mass later. So, you know, Bruce Arians comes in here and brings his offense. And yeah, Jameis Winston goes out there and he bulked up. All right. The yards were huge, more than he'd ever had. The TDs were huge, more than he'd ever had. The interceptions were huge, more than he'd ever had. And when you lift weights and you want to build muscle, and I remember saying all this, I'm not going to go through the whole thing again, but you know, you have to eat enough calories to build that muscle in addition to lifting all the weights, and sometimes that comes with unwanted rising in body fat percentage. So if Jameis in his second year, with more familiarity with the offense, which that's another thing to keep in mind about Bridgewater or anybody else, you'd be bringing in somebody else who's new to the offense. You know, Carson Palmer, I keep coming back to what he said about how the second year gets much easier because you've had a year to learn it all and you're not completely new to it when you're starting out. I you know, to me, at the end of the day, I looked at Teddy Bridgewater and he's a good quarterback. And do I think the Bucs could win with him? Yeah, I do. I really do. I feel like his upside, it's your classic, you know, window of possibility. Jameis Winston has a very wide window of possibility. The upside is higher than Teddy Bridgewater's, but the downside is much lower, whereas you're going to get a much more even level of productivity. I would, and I'm just saying this, and who knows what would happen, but I don't think they'd light it up the way they would with Jameis with someone like Teddy Bridgewater. So I tried, you know, looking at not just the numbers, but watching clips and things like that. Of course, he lit the Bucs' asses up when he played against them at the Superdome last season for 4 touchdowns. But I still, at the end of the day, feel like the Bucs feel, and I'm just saying this me, I'm not, this isn't based on innuendo or whispers or, you know, other things that people say. This is just me saying this, okay? If I had to guess, I feel like the Bucs are going to get something done with Jameis one way or the other, but they're being very close to the vest about it because they don't need to say anything. Anything they could say could only hurt them. And I don't think they're that worried yet about Jameis getting a huge offer from somewhere else that they couldn't match. And even if they did, you know how sometimes in life you have a tough decision and you feel like at the end of the day you know what you'll do when it comes down to it, but you don't have to do it yet. And if something else happens that makes your decision for you, you're like, okay, well, I'll do this then instead. Like, I'm an indecisive person on a lot of things. My wife always says I'm too indecisive about things. It's not that I'm indecisive. It's that about sometimes I like to let things play out. And if I could kind of go one way or the other on something, maybe something will happen that'll make it clear to me what the next move is anyway. And that's the same thing here with the Bucs. Maybe the Bucs are like, yeah, we'll bring Jameis back probably. But hey, if another team goes blotto and signs him, good for them. Then we also feel comfortable enough that we can then move on to something else. And so if I had to guess, and that's just me saying this, that's what I would guess is happening right now. And I'm damn decisive about anything I know I want to do. You know, a lot of times it's like, okay, here's the objective. This is what needs to be done. Okay, yeah, do that. Other times it's like, well, we could do this, we could do that. And you don't necessarily know for sure what the thing is that needs to happen. If something needs to happen, go out and make it happen. But, you know, again, a big, I said this at the top of the show, big domino is Tom Brady. Whether Tom Brady goes back to the Patriots or not makes a huge difference in every single other thing. The latest team is San Francisco. Okay, great. But everywhere he may or may not go changes the landscape. If you go to any team A, then team A gets rid of the current quarterback. Now he's a guy. So if Brady hypothetically went to San Francisco, well, now Garoppolo's out there. So then, okay, who does Garoppolo go to? Do we look at Garoppolo? What if he goes somewhere else? What about their old quarterback? You know, it's a big musical chairs thing. And as one scout or GM or somebody, I don't remember who, but Peter King said that, you know, one guy said to him, there's a hell of a lot more quarterbacks than there are chairs. So you want to land the best possible one, and you can't necessarily tell who that's going to be until things start happening. And if Tom Brady goes back to the Patriots, then that is information as well. That changes a lot of things. But I feel like the Bucs have as good of a chance. You know, this is the thing. People always want to act like they know everything. I feel like the Bucs have as good of a chance with Jameis as they do with any of these other guys that we've been hearing about. And so you might as well go with the guy you know. You might as well go with the guy who's been through this offense now for one season. And with the guy that you know can put up big numbers in it and can hopefully do that. And the big part is the hopeful part, I know. But you guy can hopefully do that without so many turnovers. And it was 35 if you count the interceptions and the lost fumbles last year. BobbyGameDay at yahoo.com is the email address. On Twitter, you can get me at BobbyGameDay. And that leads to all the other things I've been seeing with the mock drafts and things like that. We're 7 weeks out. I'm not sure. I wasn't sure before the show if I was going to do this today or wait. But I'll do my annual rant on the whole pre-draft process, which has gotten worse every year on Twitter. Because I've seen already, and it's March 5th, and the draft's April, what is it, 23rd or something like that? 7 weeks from today, whatever that falls. I've seen so many mock drafts already. And I'm not even talking about one-round mock drafts from, like, Mel Kiper. You know, that's fine. You got, like, a draft guy like Todd McShay or Mel Kiper. Here's a one-round mock draft. Fine. But now, everybody and their mother on Twitter, and these are all necessarily, I mean, just Bucks Twitter and the people I follow in the Bucks media and Twitter sphere. There's a lot of good people, a lot of good reporters. I don't follow them for no reason. I am genuinely interested in what they had to say, but there's so many of them that do seven-round mock drafts. Sell all of the rounds! And I hope they're getting paid decent money for that because no one should do a mock draft. I mean, if you're not getting paid, if you're not like part of the media, you shouldn't even do a one-round mock draft. Like, that's a weird hobby, in my opinion. But if you do a one-round, at least that's just one round. I'm sure I have hobbies other people think are weird, too. But when you have people doing like multiple-round mock drafts, I mean, that is mental masturbation. And that is a complete, like, just, you're just doing this for the sake of doing this. That accomplishes nothing. It contributes nothing to society. You may argue this show is the same way, and that's fine. But at least you're listening right now. But, you know, and they'll break down, like, here's who I had for the Bucks in the sixth round. And then people will argue with them. Like, someone else on Twitter will go, oh, dude, I never, that guy in the sixth, you know, there's no way the Bucks get, it's the sixth round of a fake draft. It's absurd. Like, it really is absurd. And you will never, if you're one of those people that is into all that, that's fine. You will never, on any show I do or any Twitter account that I publish or anything like that, get any kind of mock anything leading up to a draft for even one freaking round, let alone all seven of them. And some people just do them for the Bucks. Like, they don't do the all, you know, seven rounds of all 32 teams. At least that's a little bit better. But, I mean, nobody knows what the hell's going to happen. Even the people doing the drafting don't even know what the hell's going to happen. And they've been working on this for months, and they have a board, like, ranking hundreds of players, and even they're like, yeah, I don't know. And if they just put their board out there the way you do in a fantasy league when you can't be there or when you just get bored with it, like auto-draft, like, here's my rankings of players. Just take the highest-ranked player on my board whenever it comes up. I'm going to go get a sandwich. I'll be back in a couple hours. Whatever. You know, like, if they did that for all the work they put in, their hit-miss ratio would probably be exactly the same. Because this stuff's all so much more random than people like to think. And I know people love the idea of, you know, making a big board and studying and finding all these little angles and loopholes and seeing this one thing on film about a guy that maybe nobody else saw and how he fits your system or this, that, and the other. And all that's great, it really is. But then the draft starts and nobody knows what the hell. Nobody. And even the teams that draft that do know, they don't let anything out that they don't want out. So it's not like something you heard. You know, we all think the Bucks are going offensive tackle at 14. Well, I shouldn't say we all think that because some mock drafts have them taking a quarterback or some also have them taking, you know, help up front on defense. And although three of those things could happen, I mean, I have my opinions on what I think they should do and agree and disagree with, and I've made them known on this show, will continue to. But then the draft starts, and I remember when I worked at 620, and I did a weekend show at 620, WDAE, the sports talk station. I still have a lot of friends over there. But I remember doing a show back then, and It was either the day after the draft. This is, I think, back when the draft was still on Saturday, or it might have been on Thursday. But either way, I was doing my Saturday morning show. And the Bucks, it was the year the Bucks took Mark Barron. I remember that. And when they took Mark Barron that year, and I forget who it was, but there was about four or five guys everybody was talking about. And there was a few guys that were kind of, you know, every year there's like the two or three guys that are all the rage on sports talk radio in that particular town for a team where it's like, oh yeah, man, I like this guy for the Bucks, I like that guy for the Bucks. So they had actually had, you know, the voiceover guy that says, you're listening to 620 WDA, you know, just the generic voiceover guy that does all the stuff for all the commercials. They had actually had him record in advance, Mark Barron, first round pick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, for like five different players, except you know who one of the players wasn't that they did? Mark Barron. They didn't do one for Mark Barron because he wasn't one of the guys that they thought we were going to draft. Here it is. It was the 2012 NFL draft. God, that's longer ago than I thought. That was 8 years ago? My God. Anyway, the Bucks took Mark Barron. Okay, here's the draft. I remember now. Morris Claiborne. Remember how everybody was all about Morris Claiborne all around town? He got picked a pick in front of the Bucks by Dallas. Who else? I'm looking at Luke Kuechly, who just retired. Everybody was talking about Luke Kuechly for the Bucks. Yeah, Luke Kuechly was one. There was a couple other ones. But I remember we had recorded like promos for all of those guys. There was like three or four of them. And Mark Barron wasn't one of the guys. So when I got and did my show on the next day or 2 days later on that Saturday, I actually played on the air all the ones like Buccaneers first round draft pick, Morris Claiborne. Like I played them all on the show. I'm like, here's the ones that we recorded that we thought the Bucs might do. And we don't have one for Mark Barron because nobody thought the Bucs were going that way. And Mark Barron ended up being okay. Of course, he eventually went to the Rams, played with them. And, you know, for a number 7 overall draft pick, it wasn't what you hoped for. And if you look right behind him, like I said, Luke Kuechly went 9. There weren't a ton of studs in the first round that year, but there was definitely better options than Mark Barron. But anyway, who knows? Nobody knows. So the point is, and they actually got mad at me at 620, by the way. They said, you're making us look dumb. You shouldn't have played that on the air. And I didn't care. I mean, whatever. You know, it's a weekend show. I was getting paid like $5 to do. So I didn't care about any of it. But I thought it was funny. I still think it's funny. But that's my point. Like, everybody loves to pretend they know jack bleep about any of this, and none of us do. And if you're going to have fun and do a mock draft just to say you did it, again, great. But, you know, you might hit one of those picks, and if you did, wait till the Bucks take anybody, because it'll bound to have been on somebody's mock draft somewhere, and then that guy will be like, that's right, I had it called all along, even though, like, literally it's like saying, oh, yeah, they're going to land on 24 in roulette, and then it lands on 24. Oh, good for you. Like, you just guessed. You don't know. You know? So I remember having some fun with that, and that's how I approach all drafts. I still have fun with it. We're going to have a big party at my house like we do all the time, and I'm even thinking about making an actual board, not like with magnets and stuff, but I might just get a grease board basically and a marker and writing some things down just so me and my buddies can follow along. You know, when the Bucks are picking 5th, you don't need to do this because they're picking almost immediately once the thing starts, but picking 14th, there's more intrigue in those picks before you and who's gone and how deep. You know, you never want to get like the 6th best guy at your position that you're looking for when you're picking in the first round. So, you know, I don't know how many offensive tackles get taken or how many quarterbacks go before the Bucks or all the things that they might do. But either way, always prepare to be surprised. And I will say this right now. I probably shouldn't even admit this, but I'll say this right now. There have been times when I've been dead ass correct about us taking a guy or not taking a guy, or that we should have, and I called it, oh, we should not have done that, or we should have done this, and I was right about it. And then there's also the year that I was like begging, like almost literally begging for the Bucks to take Johnny Manziel. I did that. I thought Manziel was a great fit here. I thought he had swagger. I thought he had the game and the chutzpah to back it up that we needed at the time. And that's obviously one of the worst draft takes you could possibly have had that season. And that was what I wanted. So it could go either way. I admit it. Everybody's got stuff like that in their draft take past, if you will. And there's people who are comfortable enough to admit it to you, and others who have to pretend like they actually know what in the hell's going on. I'll tell you what in the hell really is going on, though, and this isn't conjecture. This is really happening. Go to joebucksfan.com if you want more information. You can click on the tab right there. It says watch parties on the banner above the top of the page there. It says watch parties right next to About Joe, and there is going to be Draft Party 2020. Big Storm Brewing in Clearwater is where it's going to be. Of course, this is April 23rd, the night of the draft, Thursday night. There's going to be beer, food, celebrity guests. It's going to be indoor, outdoor. They'll have the tent outside and all that stuff. Early reservation options, you can make them at joebucksfan.com. If you just go to the website and check it out and click on watch parties, it's all there. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And then, of course, there'll probably be more game watch parties, too, for the 2020 season. We'll get to those as that gets closer with Ira. Yeah, I know he's been going around to Buffalo Wild Wings around the area in 2019. We'll see if all that stuff happens again in 2020. But either way, you know, if you're just treating it as entertainment and you're not getting too, like, locked into some of this stuff, then fine. But just don't think you know is all I'm trying to say. And don't pretend like you have to know because you don't. And nobody knows. Even the guys who are the actual ones doing the picks. Email me if you want to. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com is the email address. On Twitter, you can get me at BobbyGameDay. Wanted to mention, I got an email from the Bucks. Actually, as I was doing the show just now, I wasn't going to talk about this today, but it was brought up to me. So I told you all how, you know, I used to be a season ticket holder. You know that. I was a season ticket holder for, I think it was over 10 years. I can't remember exactly how long it was. Might have been, maybe it was like 12 years. I started getting season tickets at the Old Sombrero in 1996 or so. I think it was 1997. Was my first year as a season ticket holder. And that was because my buddy Drew and I, who are two lifelong Buck fans, we got our driver's licenses, basically. And we didn't need to rely on anybody to go to the game anymore. I remember when I was a kid, I'd go to one or two games a year, and I remember my mom or dad always saying, hey, we're going to the Buck game today. Or if it was earlier in the week, hey, we're going to the Buck game on Sunday. And it was like the best feeling. I was so excited about it. Oh, man, we're going to the Buck game. And it felt really, really cool. And I remember when I got my driver's license, me and Drew were like, hey, and tickets weren't that expensive at the time, and we had summer jobs. We're like, hey, we can just go to the game now. Like, we don't have, nobody has to take us to the game. We can just go. And we're like, let's get season tickets. Like, what if we went to all of them, we said. I remember talking to him about this. Like, we could just go to every single game. There's only eight of them. Let's do it. And he's like, yeah, we're going to do this. So we bought season tickets. I even remember buying two individual seats with a third seat in the middle instead of being two next to each other, because we always hoped that the seat in the middle wouldn't get bought by anybody because it was just a single. Like, I remember going to the Sombrero for, like, the season tickets select your seat night. You know how they, like, tape a piece of paper to all the seats that are available? And so we found a row that had three seats in it, and we each took one on the bookend and left the middle one with the piece of paper on it. And we're like, nobody's going to buy this one seat with two seats on the other side of it taken. Nobody's going to want that, right? So then maybe we can stretch our legs out because the games probably won't be sold out anyway. Of course, they did end up being sold out that season as the Bucks turned it around that year. And I think we did get the extra leg room a couple of times. But by then we decided we'd just go up to the very top of the stadium in by the press box where there was like an empty like row of, like, there was no seats bolted to the concrete, and we could just sit on the concrete, and that's where we sat for the remaining, you know, rest of the season at the Sombrero. But anyway, I'm rambling. I know I tend to do that. We got those tickets then, and I held them all the way until like the late 2000s, like 2009, 10, something like that. Basically held on to them until I didn't need them anymore because I could just go to any Buck game I wanted to having to have the season tickets. You know, it used to be that you needed the season tickets because you may not get in otherwise, and you needed them because if there was a playoff game at home, you needed priority to be able to get those. And that actually mattered back then. There was a waiting list and all that stuff. And now you can still go to all eight Buck games. You just don't have to be a season ticket holder. But anyway, the Bucks have always been, you know, on, I don't want to say on me. I have a good sales team. They're going to reach out to their ex-season ticket holders. They still have my information. So I get emails and calls sometimes. And I always said, I'm not going to renew my tickets until the day you fix these uniforms. I said, I will not put another red cent. I still go to games, but I just buy them in the street or something like that. But I said, I'm not going to pay another red cent directly to you guys until you fix these abominations of a uniform. So the news came out, of course, they're changing uniforms. I get an email here. And it's from one of the Bucks salespeople who has been really good. I'm not going to mention any names. There's no need to. But they've been very good and very polite. So they say, Bobby, with news that our uniforms are going to be revamped, I wanted to see what your thoughts are. They actually remember that I'd said before that I'm not getting anything until the uniforms are changed. And they said, we've got an opportunity for you, section, you know, whatever it is, up in the 300 level. And The total 2020 cost of this, by the way, would be like $814 for two seats, which is definitely higher than I was thinking. I'm thinking more on like the $30 a game. And by the way, if I do this, which I've told you before, I'm not going to buy the tickets till after the two preseason games have come and gone, because there's no need to buy your season tickets when there's two preseason games tacked on. You can just buy them after the preseason games are over. I've told you guys this before. So I'm not going to buy anything until we knock off $80 for those preseason games that have no business costing full face value. And it's one of the biggest rackets in all of sports, and I refuse to be party to it. I guess if you're renewing like seats every year and you want to keep your seats, you have to keep it rolling. But the first time you're buying, just buy them after the two preseason games are over, but before the home open. They're not going to tell you no. They're not going to be like, oh, nope, you can only buy them in tens. You can't buy just eight of them. Well, they don't want your money. Of course they want your money. So that's what I'm going to do eventually. But that's only if I lay it. All I know is that they're changing the uniforms. I said when they fix the uniforms. I didn't say change them. So I want to see what they come up with before I deem this whole thing fixed, because this is liable to be just as bad or worse given the parties involved and what their track records are. So I'm holding out. We'll know more in a few weeks on the uniforms, and of course I'm not going to do anything till after the two home preseason games have passed. But I appreciate their email. I'm kind of a jerk about this stuff because you have to play hardball, but it's not because of them. They've been fantastic. And when I do make this move, I'm going to make sure I make it through the salesperson that has been contacting me, because they have been very, very responsive. And I appreciate that. And I want to be a Bucs season ticket holder. I want to take my son to the games. I don't want to spoil him, because like I said, there was a specialness about it when I was a kid because we didn't go all the time. And those two or three games a year that we did go to made it seem bigger to me. And even though I loved being a season ticket holder, one of the things I found was that, when you go to every single game, I went to every single Bucs game. I mean, literally every single one from the second half of the 1996 season all the way through 2008, the night that the Rays played the Red Sox in Game 7 of the ALCS, because I had to be at that instead. And the Bucks had a Sunday night game that night against the Seahawks. It was Mike Allstott night. That was the first one I missed in over a decade. It was like 100, I have to count. I have to go back and look at all the different schedules, but it was like 100 and some odd games in a row. And preseason, too, did not miss a single Bucks game. But then I found that when you sit in the same seat for every game over and over, a lot of times your memories, I remember where I was sitting for that game. I was sitting up in the left corner. Oh, I was down in good seats for that. But when you're sitting in the same seats over and over, it all blends together. I'd struggle to remember certain things about certain games. I remember a lot of things, but other times people say, don't you remember when so-and-so happened? And I'd be like, oh, I know I was at that game, but no, I don't remember a single thing about that. It all kind of blends together, especially in those post-Super Bowl years, like 2003 through 2000. And 8 or 9 or 10, it kind of all blended together through there. But I want to get back. I want to go to the games, and I like going to the games. And I do go anyway, but I want to go. I want to make it a routine thing. And so we'll see what happens here in the coming days and weeks and months. And the preseason schedule should be out pretty soon. That usually comes out before the regular season schedule. And the regular season schedule usually comes out before the draft. So we should be getting some news on that soon. Of course, need to know where Tom Brady's going. That's another big thing there, because we got to know where the primetime games are going to be. So, one more thing. As I said at the top of the show, they're voting on the CBA right now. It's just starting today. Voting will close next week, next Thursday at midnight. Basically, what they're voting on, if it's yes, then we've got ourselves a new CBA. They'll ratify what's in there, including a 17th game, including an extra playoff game in both conferences, having the 2 seed now, not having a bye, and playing against the 7 seed. And that's just the big, obvious stuff. Lots of little nuts and bolts type stuff goes in there as well. If they don't ratify it, then all this gets kicked down the can for a year. Nothing changes right now, and they renegotiate and try and do this again next year, where they'll be up against trying to avoid a strike at that point, which obviously you prefer to never have that come up. So what the players have to ask themselves, and I'm not a labor expert or anything like that, and I'm certainly not a player in the NFL, but with any negotiation like this, especially if the alternative is trying again at a predetermined later date, is not just do I like what I have in front of me, yes or no, it's if I say no and try again, will what I get the next time be any better than what's already in front of me, yes or no? And that's what I think is probably the most unlikely thing. I think the owners, as they always do in these things, have a lot of leverage. And you've got a lot of guys. I mean, every NFL roster, and we've heard guys on Twitter, and most of these guys on Twitter coming out are very well-known players who have had long established careers, and they're guys with big contracts. But you got to figure every NFL roster has about 20 to 25 guys who are like locked in guys. They've got, you know, some time under their belt in the league, or they know they're going to get time under their belt in the league. Not worried about being cut, not worried about week-to-week paychecks, not just trying to stay alive. There's, you know, less than half, but maybe close to half of a roster is even approaching that level. And then you've got another 25 to 30 guys going down all the way to the practice squad who are just trying to stay in the damn league for another week. And they don't care about a 17th game. A 17th game for them may just be a chance to dress, you know, the guys who are trying to get on the actual active roster for another maybe extra week or so. And they're making closer to the league minimum, which is what would go up under this. Maybe not as much as they'd want, but up. And when you're in the league for 20 minutes, like a lot of these guys are, an extra 90K is a big deal. And that's who, you know, the owners know those guys, and those guys have a vote just like everybody else. It's not just Aaron Rodgers or J.J. Watt or Richard Sherman or any of these other Twitter guys. So if I had to predict, and I have no idea what's going to happen as far as the vote goes, but again, just trying to imagine if it is a no, what happens a year from now? Oh, what are they going to say? Oh, okay, fine, no 17th game. They're doing the 17th game. Like, they're going to do it somehow. You know, maybe they could get more in exchange for the 17th game, but I highly doubt that. I just, to me, it seems like this is probably as good as it gets. And the owners are smart guys, and they're very, very, very moneyed up. And they've been preparing for this probably a lot longer than the players have. And I've already thought, you know, whereas the players union always seems like it's reacting to moves by the owners seem like they've kind of mapped out and choreographed exactly what they're going to do, when they're going to do it, and know already in advance what the response will be and already know what their response to that will be. That's what these things usually feel like. So again, by next week, the voting will still be open. The show after that, we'll know more, and we'll talk about this as we have more time before the draft than we ever really needed, to be quite honest with you. But that's it for today. Hey, thanks to all of you for listening. I want to thank Joe Bucks Fan for giving me the platform that they always do, getting in front of all of you guys. There is no better place anywhere on the internet, TV, radio, newspaper, anything, no better place than Joe Bucks Fan for your full Bucks coverage. And any jagoff can just do a podcast. But for the Joe Bucks Fan guys to let me have this platform, put it on that website, I am always deeply appreciative of that. Thanks to our sponsors at Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to all of you for listening. Don't forget the watch party for the draft. It's coming, and you can go to the website, joebucksfan.com, and check it out under the watch parties tab at Big Storm Brewing Company in Clearwater, 7 weeks from right now, as I'm recording this on Thursday, March the 5th. And we'll have more about that as we get closer and closer. But anyway, enjoy the weekend. Hey, I didn't talk about the Vipers. Congrats to the Vipers getting their first XFL win. They are still in this playoff race. Let's try and make it a 2-3 record and maybe fight back to 500 with another game this weekend. We'll enjoy that. Everything else, be safe, have fun. I'll talk to you next Thursday. And in the meantime, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks. Stay so lonely now.